We're talking today with Jim Robb with the Livestock Market Information Center. And, Jim, we're here. Second half of the year has just really gotten underway. We are starting to see some of these first half of the year numbers on exports, and have had a chance to really reflect on where we are on the cattle market, 6 months now fully under our belt. 2015 has turned out to be a little bit of a tougher year compared to the incredible year we had in 2014, looks like, in the cattle business.
It has been. I think it's a bit of a transition year. First half of this year, we had pretty strong markets, a little bit of transition to lower calf and yearling prices in the second half of the year. Seems like we found the bottom for the year in the fed cattle market recently, but a lot of things shaping the picture in terms of herd growth, but also in terms of the demand side, and I think that international side has been part of the puzzle this year that's quite a bit different than last year.
You mentioned we probably found the bottom on at least the slaughter cattle side of the ledger, right?
I think it's on the fed cattle side. We kind of groped through a bottoming process here over the last couple of weeks in the fed cattle. Seems like we put that in, probably gravitate slowly higher towards the fourth quarter of this year. A little bit still topsy-turvy. We don't have a lot of cattle moving between the feedlots and the packers, but seems like we're setting up a bit of a foundation to move the market a little bit higher.
You mentioned the fact that, you know, one of the problems we've got with this fat cattle market or slaughter cattle market these days is it's been harder and harder to establish a market. We simply do not have nearly the number of cattle that were actually traded for cash compared to even just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we have overall rather tight supplies in feedlots, and then we have a thinning market in terms of cash trade, especially in the southern plains. So it's a little harder to get your arms around the market. Wholesale beef market's been pretty well established, although it's been softer. But I think the underlying picture that's been really weak, and the packers have been pointing out, has been the drop value. The non-meat aspects of this market have really been a drag on the overall marketplace, heavily tied to export markets and demand for hides and internal organs. But, you know, that's taken, you know, $3 to $5 a hundredweight off the live cattle market compared to a year ago. So that's one of those subtle aspects we usually don't talk about, but has been a bit of a drag. It's not so much been the meat market drag. It's been the byproduct drag from a fed cattle perspective.
And why have we seen that much of a drag or had that much of a drop-off on those drop credits?
Well, they're very dependent on export markets. Biggest component of the drop credit is the hide value. We actually have hides in storage that we don't normally have across the U.S. And, you know, those further processed markets, the Asian markets for handbags, leather goods, that whole international dynamic is very soft. Europe's soft. Russia's in recession. Japan's in recession. The U.S. is actually a bright spot, but this has to reverberate through the international marketplace. When we come to tongue and other internal organs, those are very much dominated by export markets, not the domestic market. Our second largest liver market, for example, historically is Russia, and we've been pushed out of that market by Russia's policy. So those are really what are weighing on the marketplace, I think, when we stand back a little bit.
You mentioned the fact that we have kind of felt around and seemingly have found a bottom on the slaughter cattle side of the ledger for our yearling and calf prices. It seems like we're trying to do the same thing.
We are in the short term trying to do that. We had a lot of volatility, like in Oklahoma City, last couple weeks down and up. But the general trend in the second half of this year, corn is probably not going down a lot. We're looking at increasing supplies of cattle. We're looking at softer calf and yearling markets in the second half of this year compared to a year ago. We're not going to make the very strong calf and yearling markets that we did in the fourth quarter of 2014. We're going to have the second highest calf market ever. Yeah. But it certainly is a softer market on a year-to-year basis. Fed cattle prices will be down year-to-year in the second half, still seasonally stronger. Corn's going to be probably a little bit higher than last year. And then we have a larger cattle supply on top of that, plus this overall picture of rather lackluster international demand for products. So, again, a good year in cow-calf country and pretty good year in stocker country, but not quite 2014, as you mentioned.
And we're really looking at more of a soft landing, it seems like, on these prices. There's nothing drastic, right?
I think mostly, you know, we can have a lot of volatility up and down in these marketplaces, and we've seen that fed cattle, calf, and yearling prices lately. But I think the overall herd buildup rate is still rather modest. We still have a very good consumer demand profile, especially in the U.S. marketplace. So we see more of an erosion of calf and yearling prices over the next several years rather than a collapse. But as you well know, Ron, there's a lot of things outside this marketplace that can shock it. We really can't foresee those, but it'll probably take some kind of outside market shock to cause something other than just a kind of slow erosion in calf and yearling prices over the next few years.
Let's talk a little bit about the export. We do have the numbers that have come out from USDA and the Meat Export Federation first half of the year now under our belt. And for the beef industry, the overall reported numbers, a 10% drop in volume and about unchanged on the value, though.
Yeah, the value side's been pretty strong. Again, one of the weakest components has been those byproduct items. On the meat side of the marketplace, we've had about a parallel decline in our beef tonnage exports that we've had in terms of domestic production.
Yeah.
Just slightly different here. So we're maintaining those export markets, partly just reflecting our smaller supply in the U.S. Now, certainly we're still selling this beef product in foreign markets at pretty strong prices. That international dynamic has also changed behind the scenes. We have the value of the dollar pushing against U.S. exports. And we actually have the international trade environment working against our exports. Most importantly, Australia has been taken out of the Russian market, very important to them, pushed out of some of the Middle Eastern markets, and also especially the Chinese market due to their very low rates of growth. So the U.S. is sort of the residual marketplace. So our beef imports are up. And we put that whole puzzle, though, together. Surprising, really, that beef imports maybe aren't up a little bit more in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and that our exports have remained this strong in this economic environment. So I think if we chalk it up to rather good performance, although we are seeing some year-to-year declines on tonnage.
And I guess what a lot of that Australian beef really has helped us and the consumer as far as to kind of, I guess, you know, fill in the hole a little bit on trimmings and that ground beef component of our consumer.
Especially on the trimming, especially on, you know, we pulled back cow slaughter dramatically in the U.S. as we started to turn towards herd buildup, and we're replacing that lower quality beef into the manufacturing meat sector coming from imports. And so it timing-wise, it really hasn't worked out as much of a market pressure as you might anticipate. Now, as we start to pull up beef cow slaughter, maybe this fourth quarter into 2016, and dairy cow slaughter, more importantly, probably we'll see a pullback in terms of Australia's ability to export to the world marketplace because they're still suffering the impacts of the drought. So even if they still maintain a drought, they don't have the herd base to continue probably the export levels that they've been able to sell in the first half of 2015. So these will probably come together where we pick up our cow slaughter and then we'll ratchet down the import simultaneously. And that probably is the best scenario that we could come up with in that cull cow market in the manufactured beef marketplace.
Right. You alluded to the fact that we have really seen quite a dramatic move in trying to rebuild these herds. We kind of hit, of course, the drought in 2011, 2012, and really dramatic downturn on the number of cows at that time. As in this part of the world, we saw a lot of cows either get moved or actually the herds get liquidated. 14, we saw the move. 15 looks like really more of the same, didn't it?
It does. We're still restocking some of these ranches, especially in the Southern Plains. So, you know, we see the most aggressive herd growth is probably in the Southern Plains coming out of the drought years. But across the U.S., our members say that almost every state sees some beef cow herd growth due to the economics and due to, in most areas, barring California, pretty darn good grass conditions, at least from an overall perspective. Mm-hmm. So we're in pretty good position. We're growing the herd. Now, remember, we get a pretty big kick in the first couple years of this herd growth because we're really transitioning away from beef cow slaughter, and that's, you know, a short-term thing. You don't keep pulling down beef cow slaughter. So as we looked at 2016 and beyond, the fundamental herd growth will depend more and more on heifer holdback, and that'll be the transition we start to make in 2016.
I guess what, as we rebuild this herd, you know, how many cows do we really need in today's beef environment?
Well, it's really largely a function on the demand side, and that's going to be driven mostly by export markets as we look for the next 3 to 5 years, at least in our assessment. Now, we look at the rate of herd growth so far in the last 2 years in the U.S. We've probably pushed the herd up come January 1, 2016, by fully 3%. In the last herd buildup, we only grew the herd by about 2.4%. So we're on a pretty aggressive path, but we're also coming out of one of the worst drought sequences in history. I think the international export demand can support herd growth and still profitable levels in the U.S. industry, but that export demand is going to be the real driving force between whether we can really push these herd numbers higher than the last cyclical peak.
Now, the mid-year report suggested that we were back above 30 million beef cows in this country. You know, how far, you know, do we get to 30, 32, 33 million, you think, at the top end, or is that too far?
No, I think we can make those levels. I think the international demand profile's there to do that. I think domestic beef demand is there. You know, we have competing meats, too. We're going to have to look at the pork and the chicken complex. They're certainly ramping up. And so I think we look overall and we get to those kinds of levels. You know, we probably grow this beef cow herd overall by a total of, 6 to 9% in terms of percent change over the herd growth rate. And then we start to really look at how much we're depressing prices on calves and yearlings and how quickly that happens to really start, you know, the turn towards no more growth in the herd.
So, you know, as you visit these guys here at the Southern Plains Beef Symposium, largely cow-calf audience, what's your advice to them for the balance of this year and planning for 16 and 17?
Well, this year is still a great year in cow-calf country. We really need to be doing a really good job of managing our taxes, managing our marketing plans. I think we're setting up for more normal seasonal price patterns. Most recent years, as you know, Ron, we've had some of our strongest prices in the fourth quarter of the year. That's not normal in cow-calf country. We're going to see much more normal seasonal price patterns, both on fed cattle, calves, and yearlings. And we need to remember that the herd is growing, and so we need to spend a little bit more time on our marketing plans and some of our decision-making, and then really recognizing that we're in a lower price environment as we look ahead. Still probably pretty good times, but we need to start to marketing and managing with a sharper pencil, especially on stocker programs, I think, for the next couple years. That's an area where we're seeing a real squeeze. Saw a lot of pressure this year in cattle feeder, a lot of red ink in 2015. 2014 was a good year. We've got to get cattle feeding back to at least a break-even proposition, and that's going to be, you know, something to certainly watch. Those are the buyers for our calves out in the country. We need to keep an eye on that sector.